We've got the women national champions. We've got the men's being decided tonight. My man Shay Shay's in the house. I see the blazer, baby. I see the blazer. I see the look. I understand. I understand. You're looking good, brother. But I think it's safe to say I'm looking a little bit better this morning. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm just going to throw that out there. Molly's coming up. Andrea and Shanae is coming up. Jay Will is coming up. Seth Greenberg is coming up. The weekend is over, y'all. First Takes in the house. Shannon, you like how I do this, right? Holla at you, boys. Yeah.
First Take is presented by ESPN Bet.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Stephen A. already introduced everyone, so good morning, everybody. We're going to get into the huge overnight news that John Calipari is reportedly leaving Kentucky to coach Arkansas. But, of course, you know where we're starting. Yesterday's national championship game. South Carolina caps an undefeated season with a title a year after stunning Final Four defeat to Caitlin Clark in Iowa that ended what could have been a perfect season. South Carolina finished the job Sunday in historic fashion, becoming the 10th team in Division I history to complete an undefeated season. Here's Dawn Staley and Caitlin Clark after the game.
So I'm just super proud of where I work. I'm super proud of our fans. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
To be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were three-year starters for our program. And to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do.
All right. Chinay, tell me this. What's the biggest reason South Carolina beat Iowa?
Yeah, South Carolina. Wait, actually, first of all, Stephen A., you do look good. I have to say, I do like the suit. Shannon, I like the pattern. You do look good. Y'all started the show by saying, holla at your boy. We all know, based off of the games last night, it should have been, holla at your girl.
Can I do that? Because I slipped. I actually was going to say that. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't have you on camera. That's why I didn't do it. Holla at your girls. Get you. I'm giving it.
You know what time it is? Sorry, Molly. Now I will answer your question.
Don't apologize.
South Carolina finished with the national championship, perfect, undefeated, because Camilla Cardoso was unguardable. And this is a team that had a luxury of winning in different ways. They could beat you from the perimeter. They could beat you with your defense. But they really beat Iowa because of Camilla's dominance at 6'7" at the rim. Let me tell you, every point that she scored in the tournament, 58 baskets, all came into the paint. That's where she did her damage, and we saw that in the national championship game. Now, I've been saying this like a broken record. Drea can just say it for me too at times. Offense sells tickets, defense wins games, rebounding wins you championships. What does she have? 15 points, 17 rebounds, 7 of those offensive. She had emerged during the tournament as their go-to player. There were plays in Indiana, in Oregon State, where she was clapping for the ball, saying, give it to me when times get rough. And in that second quarter, she demanded the ball. She was a beast on the boards, and that's why the Gamecocks got the win.
And with all due respect to the bigs, mind you, we're splitting hairs because we're talking about two players that just won a championship. We're splitting hairs here as far as the reason. The reason they won was Raven Johnson's revenge tour. She was on a revenge tour all season long after getting waved off by Caitlin Clark. Caitlin popped off for 18 points in the first quarter. Raven Johnson got that defensive assignment, and it was seatbelt gang from there. This play changed the game, in my opinion. This was with a minute and 35 seconds left in the second quarter. Raven Johnson gets a steal, goes for a layup. Raven had 4 steals. Caitlin had 4 turnovers. Caitlin was 3 of 11 from the field with Raven on her. It was lockdown defense. It was beautiful. It was an incredible display of confidence, revenge, reemergence. Raven held it down.
Yeah, and Stephen A. and Shannon, what people don't realize that this was the first time in 25 years that you had the best defense going up against the best offense, right? Mm-hmm. But most outstanding player, Camilla Cardoso, but it was really Raven taking over in the second quarter on the perimeter that made that a picture. picture-perfect assignment and overall defensive performance.
And you know the best part for people that haven't been following this team? They're best friends. Like, the team gets along. They love each other so much. They love Coach Staley so much. But Raven and Camilla are best friends. So for those two to lead the way, they had two freshmen that jumped in. So now we're just talking about South Carolina's depth. They just rolled in waves with their skill, their size, and their athleticism.
Well, listen, there's no wrong answer to this question, to be quite honest.
Zero.
There's no wrong answer to this question, but I will say this to you. Coming into the game, I said, listen, when I picked South Carolina and Iowa to meet for the national championship, and I said in order for Iowa to beat them, Caitlin Clark going to have to drop 50, literally. And in the first quarter, when she had 18, I said, damn, she might drop 50. I mean, I was scared because she looked sensational in that first quarter. The rest of the game, 5 of 20 shooting from the field, 12 points, 2 of 9 shooting from threes. Obviously, Raven Johnson had a lot to do with that, so you're absolutely right, Andrea. She deserves credit for that. You're right, Shanae, when you talk about the rebounding, because rebounding delivers championships. 51 to 29 rebounding advantage. I get it. Cardoso and Kitts alone had 27, which was too shy the entire Iowa team. So we got to take that into consideration as well. We've got to pay attention to that. For me personally, however, Shannon, Tessa Johnson. Tessa Johnson. That girl came up
real high.
And I mean, 19.7 of 11 shooting, 3-6 from three-point range. Even though Cardoso was unstoppable, just too big, too strong, too physical, okay? We saw what they got, had 18 offensive rebounds for crying out loud. In the end, I still felt like Iowa could have won this game if South Carolina was not going to hit perimeter shots. When Tessa Johnson came in and showed that stroke, I was like, this is a wrap. They got no shot, Shannon. And that's what stands out in my mind, Tessa Johnson.
You're absolutely right, guys, and I want to put a bow on everything you guys said. And please don't take this the wrong way, but size matters. You go with 6'7 Cardoso, and you have Kit, and then you come with Watkins. And so now they're cleaning you up on the gas. So even if I miss a shot, I'm going to get the rebound, double you up in second chance points. And you mentioned Tessa Johnson hitting from the outside. Pow, pow, hitting from the outside. Raven Johnson and Bree Hall put lights out deep. You see the difference between what LSU did and what South Carolina did? South Carolina put their most athletic player on Caitlin Clark. What did LSU do? Put their least athletic player on Caitlin Clark. And you see the difference?
Dang, Shannon.
They wore. And plus, there you guys go. See, I knew Shanae, I knew you, Andrea. I knew you guys. See, I hated I said it. I knew you guys were going there. But they wore down because Kelly, we've never seen a player in the women's game bear more of an offensive responsibility than Caitlin Clark. She has to score damn near all their points, and she has to facilitate. And you saw there at the end, Raven Johnson was picking her pockets, something we did not see all year long. They wore her down. And as the game got going, she got more and more frustrated because she knew she didn't have the horses running alongside her that South Carolina did. And I love the way Dawn Staley, they raced out to a 10-0 lead, and everybody was expecting, Dawn, you going to call a timeout? Dawn sat there with a Gucci on. Y'all got to send this mess. Get us out of it. I love the way she coached, and her team came ready to play. They came ready to avenge what happened last year, and they left no doubt the University, the Lady Gamecocks are the best women's basketball team in the country.
Absolutely. And Shannon, to that point, I mean, if you're a fan of sports, it's hard not to root for Dawn Staley. She's a class act, how she conducts herself, what she stands for, everything. With that being said, though, as far as on the court, Dre, I'll come to you first. What do you think a third title means for Staley's legacy?
Man, you know, I think it cements her as one of the GOATs as far as coaching goes by far. There are only 5 coaches that have won at least 3 championships. So she moves herself into that category. But for me, it's not that it was the third one, Molly. It's that the third one came after losing 5 starters to the WNBA draft and a 6th player to the WNBA draft to completely reload this roster and have all the pieces fit together so perfectly. It is one of the most masterful displays of coaching that we have seen in this game.
And the thing is we have a lot of eyeballs on the game based off of the last 2 years, the success of the women's tournament and just women's basketball overall. But I feel like we have to re-educate people. It's not just coaching when it comes to Dawn Staley. She has 2 Hall of Fame careers. one as a player that came first, and I think that's what allows her to coach at such a high level. She's a two-time Naismith Player of the Year at Virginia, six-time WNBA All-Star, three-time Olympic gold medalist. Circle that 1996. Their success, the USA team in 1996, helped birth the WNBA, where she became a six-time All-Star. And now, you look at that one resume that's Hall of Fame, now she has three championships in 7 years. Her record at South Carolina is 109-3. 109-3. And those three
over
losses were by a combined 7 points. Thank you. Over the last three seasons. And so for me, it's that she's one of one. We've never seen a player become as dominant as a coach be as dominant as a player. Hall of Fame resume is just hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you all feel, but I talked to Dawn Staley. This was a couple years ago. This big documentary came out about that 96 USA team. And I was doing an interview with her, and they were sleeping on the floor. They were traveling in just conditions you would never imagine because they wanted to put the women's game on the map. And I asked Coach Staley, when you wanted to quit, what pulls you through? She said, I never wanted to quit. It never crossed my mind to quit. I knew we had to do this. So now all the success we're seeing with her team and with the women's game, it starts with those foundational pieces, and she is one of them.
And let's talk about last year, because Raven Johnson is a perfect example of how she refused to quit. I mean, she was literally waved off in the national championship and just saying, like, or in the semifinal and say, hey, look, you're not a shooter. That was a moment that could have really deconstructed you as a person. Instead, she had Dawn lift her up, breathe life into her, and
we've
now not only does she take
NBA.
The assignment, but also hits not
we've
does
seen
she just take the greatest defensive
ben
assignment
Simmons
in
waved off.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to talk about
it. Oh, God.
Yeah, I knew he was
But then Raven hitting clutch shots also in the tournament, so, like, it translates that mindset.
And you know what? And when and that was a GIF and a meme. If I send you this, that means I ain't got time for you. So if somebody sends you that Raven Johnson when Caitlin Clark was waving them off, that means I ain't got time for you. Don't bother me with your bull jive. Guys, I mean, to see the way the game transpired over the last three quarters, you see Carolina get control of this game slowly and methodically and just start to squeeze. It was all anacondish-like because they started to squeeze the life out of Iowa. And they knew. They put up a valiant effort because once South Carolina got the lead, they went out to, I think, 12, 13 points. And here come Iowa make that run. So Don's like, hey, slow this thing down. Let's swing it around. Big girls, take this thing. Young lady, excuse me. Young ladies, Cardosa, take it over. Kids, take it over. And they took the game over. And Tessa Johnson has a career high. Watkins, remember, against NC State, she has a career high. She got in foul trouble, or they really would have dominated this game. They might have had 70 rebounds if she doesn't get in foul trouble because she's a beast on the glass. Stephen A., obviously, my brother went to the University of South Carolina, so I root for the Lady Gamecocks. It was an unbelievable to see them finish it because it would have been so anticlimactic. You go through the entire season. Cardosa hits that three in the SEC championship game to survive Tennessee. You have a 22-point lead against Indiana, and they whittle it down to two, and you end up winning by 4 or 6 points. For them to do what they did, and in the fashion in which they did it against Caitlin Clark, I can't wait to see the number because I know the number's going to be 15, 16.
Literally, eight. Shannon. Literally, Louis Vuitton Dawn.
Yeah, you see, that's her name. Hey, she can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Listen, to you know, encapsulate everything that everybody's been saying, because I don't disagree with anything that y'all been saying. Dawn Staley has proven to be a top five coach in the history of women's basketball.
Yes.
Right. I mean, let's get that out the way right now. Top five. When you talk about Gino, when you talk about Pat Summitt, when you talk about Vanderveer, when you talk about Kim Mulkey, you know, you're talking about Dawn Staley. She's right in that discussion. That's number one. Number two, why are we saying that? Over the last 3 years, like you pointed out, Shanae, 109-3. 47-1 in the SEC, 16-1 in the NCAA tournament, three Final Fours, two national titles, three consecutive Naismith Coach of the Year awards. That's the last 3 years. Now we go over the last 16 years that she's been at South Carolina, because people forget she's been there like 16 years. Her record is 440-106. That's a winning percentage of 80.6. Six Final Fours, three national titles, eight SEC tournament titles, eight SEC regular season titles, and a four-time Coach of the Year. These are credentials that come associated with all-time greats. When you talk about Dawn Staley, from this day moving forward, at the University of South Carolina, remember, you can mention Geno, you can mention Pat Summitt and Van Devere and Mulkey. Remember that Dawn Staley is in that conversation. Top five all time.
Absolutely.
In the history of college, of women's coaching, period.
Absolutely. Andrea Chiney, we have to move on. Real quick, though, I want to cap it with this till you come back. Why was this year so epic for women's sports?
You got it?
You go ahead.
I mean, it was epic for women's sports because when there were the most eyes on the game, the players continuously delivered with their performances, and it grew and it expanded, and people fell in love with it. Every time there was a moment, whether it was Caitlin, whether it was South Carolina, whether it was Hannah Hidalgo or Juju, every time there was a moment, Paige Beckers, the players delivered. They didn't let one moment slip. They took advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, maybe 10, 15 years ago, back when I played, back when we played, it was largely the programs and the coaches that were bigger than the game. Now it's the players. And to me, that's all over the country. And also, it's the fact that the game is in a beautiful place. People are talking about Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA. Did y'all see this freshman class?
Yeah.
With Juju Watkins, who was number two in scoring under Caitlin Clark, Hannah Hidalgo. The game is in a healthy place. There are a lot of stars everywhere. And I feel like the landscape really benefits towards the women staying in school and becoming the stars and those storylines carrying over.
Molly, I want to take this to a step further, and I'm glad Shannon's here because I think that he'll co-sign me when I say this. You know, when we watch the world of sports, we can't dismiss the commentary that comes with it. I don't think football would have ever been what it became if it were not for the great Howard Cosell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, the Mike Breens and the Marv Alberts of the world before him, and my man Gus Johnson, let's not forget about him, calling basketball, you know, NBA basketball games. When we think, you know, about football, we think Pat, you know, again, Pat Summerall. And John Madden and those guys and what have you. I'm bringing all of that up to say that as great as this season was, as great as this NCAA tournament was, I had the pleasure of watching who I believe to be two of the best basketball analysts in America, in Shanae Ogumike and Andrea Carter.
Yeah. You guys were a part of America falling in love with it.
You guys were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that have been done for the sport and them playing the way that they played, it was accentuated and illuminated by the way you two performed. You were absolutely sensational. I can't even tell y'all how proud I am of the job y'all did during this NCAA tournament. Y'all were phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's
unbelievable
to witness.
Unbelievable, ladies. Stephen A., you know this better than anybody.
Thank you so much.
Sports is about stories. It's not about wins and losses. Yeah, you want to win and lose, win or losers. But what's the story? What's the storyline? Can you tell me a storyline? What better storyline than Caitlin Clark and Juju and Paige Beckers and the University of South Carolina and Hannah Hidalgo? What better stories? Now, when the lights are on them, they performed. When Bird and Magic went up against each other in Salt Lake City, they performed. And they brought that performance to the NBA, and it took off. So when the lights were the brightest, when we watch every time they showcase Caitlin Clark, did she not give us her money's worth? Every time the lights were on Juju, did she not perform? Hannah Hidalgo, the University of South Carolina, did they? Paige Beckers, are you not entertained?
That's right.
How can you not be? The women's game is in a great place because guess what? Caitlin moves on, but guess what? Juju's back. Paige Beckers is back. South Carolina brings the lion's share of that team back. Hannah Hidalgo
UConn's
is back.
UConn got a bench. They'll be back.
Yep. UConn got the number one. But, hey, don't you count off them Lady Gamecocks. Dawn Staley, hey, you say she's number five. She say, I'm trying to move up the ladder. I might not catch Geno or Pat Head, but I'm coming up that ladder. Hey, Tara, I'm about to leave you in the dust. I'm coming for you, Kim Mulkey. I'm finna get four.
Oh, my goodness.
Not my coach.
That's your girl.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Dre and Chiney will be back. Thank you both so much.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
To the men's game now. Kentucky's John Calipari finalizing a five-year deal to coach Arkansas, according to our Pete Thamel and Jeff Borzello. The deal's expected to be completed in the next 24 hours. Calipari's the second highest-paid coach in the country at Kentucky, only behind Kansas's Bill Self, earning more than $8.5 million per year. Cal had a lot of success early on at Kentucky, advancing to the Final Four four times in his first six seasons and winning the title in 2012. But things have gone south the last few years, culminating with a loss to Oakland in the first round of this year's NCAA tournament. Jay Will joining the show now, live from Arizona, the site of where my Huskies will be in action tonight. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
What's up, Molly? Good morning, y'all.
What's going on, Jay?
What's up, bro?
Jay got on the blazers and stuff, not the hoodies, and sees in Arizona, looks awake and ready to roll, hyped about tonight's national championship game. All right, Jay, I see you. I see you.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. You know, he says it's time to dress for success.
How about that?
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Stephen A.,
yes.
Are you surprised that Cal left Kentucky for Arkansas?
I'm shocked. I was shocked because Arkansas is not Kentucky, you know, tradition-wise and what have you. First of all, let me say USC is lucky. Eric Musselman is a hell of a coach, and he did a hell of a job. They didn't make the NCAA tournament this season, but in his 5 years there, a couple of Elite Eight appearances, three trips to the Sweet 16, he did a damn good job for that program. And I think that he's going to do a hell of a job at USC, so congratulations to him. But Calipari succeeded him. I know that Calipari is friends with one of the alumni members that happens to be a billionaire from Arkansas. I get that part, and maybe that had a lot to do with this, but I think that the reason I'm shocked is because Kentucky is blue blood. But in the end, I love Calipari. I've known him for close to 30 years, but he's underachieved over the last decade. Haven't made it to a Final Four since 2015, hasn't won a national championship since 2012. It was the only championship he's won, despite getting the Final Fours over 6 years. And I'm going to throw this out at you, Jay and Shannon. In Calipari's first six seasons at Kentucky, they won 83.7% of their games. They had three 35-win seasons. They had four Final Four appearances, and they won a national title. In his last 9 years, he's dropped by 11% in winning percentage and zero in every category, the 35 wins, the Final Fours, the NCAA titles. And when you're at Kentucky and you see North Carolina and Duke keeping themselves relevant, even when they don't win, they're knocking at the door, they're in the mix. And over the last 4 years, you've had two first-round exits to a number 14 and a number 15 seed. You didn't make the tournament once, and then you got to the second round, and that's all you have to show for it at Kentucky. They were saying it's unacceptable, and there was rumblings about Calipari. So it does give you the impression that he's running away from something rather than be pushed out, even though they weren't going to push him out because they would have owed him a $33 million buyout. But in the end, it's still I found myself shocked, Jay, Shannon, because to go from Kentucky to Arkansas, that's not about a better opportunity as much as it is a better environment for you, because the environment where you were evidently soured on you, and that's why you left. That's the impression that I've gotten. I don't know anything. I haven't reported on it. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but that's the impression that I walked away with when I heard this news last night.
Stephen A. and Unk, I just want to say it out loud and very slowly so we can let it all just marinate. You know, Unk, I know you like to cook. We're going to let that meat marinate in these good juices for a second, okay?
Well, go ahead.
Okay? Yeah. All right. John Calipari, the second all-time winningest coach in Kentucky basketball history. Stephen A., you can tell me about the lack of success over the last couple of years in the tournament. My man has won a championship. He's gotten to four Final Fours. Now, Bill Self has won two championships. Dan Hurley is about to win two if he's able to get it tonight. Ain't too many two championship dudes out there. Ain't a lot of one championship guys out there, okay? With the success he's had.
Okay.
Has left Kentucky for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Has left Kentucky basketball for Arkansas. No disrespect to Arkansas. I love Nolan Richardson. I love 40 Minutes of Hell. I was a Scottie Thurman fan. But left Kentucky
for
Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying here. Like, so everybody's going to say, well, you know, this is a great move. Who y'all going to replace him with?
Yeah.
Who they going to replace him with? Everybody keeps telling me, oh, underachieved. Give me a name. Is Jay Wright going to come out of his cush job for CBS? Because every time I hear Jay Wright talk about coaching, he's like, man, that's stressful. Is Billy Donovan going to leave Chicago, even if the situation isn't great, to come down to Kentucky? Like, that's the job you're going to take?
I would if I was Billy Donovan.
Like,
I would.
Hold on. Stephen A., Jay, can I ask you this?
Yes.
Hell, I can come out of my job and get kicked out in the first round, lose to Oakland. I can lose. Hold on. You talk about who you're going to replace.
Shannon.
Hold on. Time out. You said there's not a whole lot of guys to win national champions. How about this for a roster? 35 first-round picks since he's been in Oklahoma. Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Shai Gilgeous, Maxey, Randall, John Wall, Bam, Murray, Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, Carl Anthony Towns, Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Number one overall draft pick in Derrick Rose. Number one overall draft pick in Carl Anthony Towns. Anthony Davis, John Wall. And you give me one title? If Nick Saban, if Kirby Smart, if Dabo Sweeney, with all the guys they put in the
Different game, Shannon. When you go to college football playoffs, you got to win two games. You got to win six games here. And by the way, the Carl Anthony Towns team, they were undefeated. They lost in the chip. They lost in the Final Four to Wisconsin. Randomly.
Hey,
I hear what all y'all saying about the talent. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Jen.
I can get any coach to go to the SEC and make the NCAA tournament and get kicked out just like Cal did. So when he went to Kentucky, did he say we're gonna get all these guys? All these guys are gonna be number one picks, or did he say he gonna hang banners like Mr. Rupp did, or is he gonna do what J.B. Hall did? Tubby Smith? They got Tubby up out of there. Why didn't I get him up out of there? Tubby Smith won a title. Why didn't Tubby get to stay? They ran J.B. Hall up out of there. Why didn't he get to stay? Why do Cal get to stay? Because he gets five first-round, five-star? Why did he get to stay, Jay? Just ask me that. Why did he get to stay?
All I'm saying is sometimes you don't know how good you got it until it's gone.
All right, well.
And I think there are a certain level of people that, because Kentucky's been so relevant, I caught a lot of flack this year when I was like, oh, they're like the Dallas Cowboys of college basketball. Not saying that the lack of success in the tournament. I'm talking about the fact, the relevancy of how we talk about them every single day because of the brand names. Brand names always translate to championships. I hear you on that. All I'm just trying to say is, as much as we want to sit up here and talk about Nate Oates, I'm not sure Nate Oates is going to leave Alabama. You might think he should. That comes with a lot of stuff, though, because now every single year you got to win a championship, or if you ain't winning championships, you're considered a bum. I'm just saying, don't diminish but, how look. Great it is. Cal's the second all-time winningest coach in Kentucky basketball history, Shannon, next to Adolph Rupp. I got Adolph Rupp award at my house. That says something, though. That's all I'm saying.
Jay, let me say this, bro. I respectfully disagree with you. I'm not saying, and no one should say, Calipari is a bum. Calipari has been a great coach. Calipari has been a great coach. We understand what his resume entails. The respect is given. And the college basketball landscape has changed, particularly because of the portal. And I think that, you know what, he might be in a better situation than Arkansas for all we know. But here's the point, Jay. He wouldn't think about leaving Kentucky had he been more successful. The rumblings down in Lexington existed because it's been since 2015. So there is credence to Shannon's point that if you're at a program like Kentucky and you're getting all of these five-star recruits, one should be able to expect that in a 9-year span, you'd at least visit the Final Four again. You're talking about the last 4 years, they didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. Now, you gotta take that into consideration. There's no way to get around that, Jay. 4 years at the University of Kentucky, and you can't get to the Sweet 16. 9 years, and you can't get to the Final Four, let alone win a national championship. That does matter. And all of a sudden, it can get to a point where those five-star recruits that you got will suddenly be held against you, because when do we stop looking at youngsters, looking at their youth as an excuse? At some point in time, isn't it you? It's got to be you, especially when we're talking about great coaches, a Krzyzewski, a Roy Williams, a Self, and others. I'm talking now, Jay, I'm not talking about a national championship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not even the Sweet 16. That's what I'm saying. That's a problem.
Man, I all those are factual, S.A. I'm not disagreeing with you on the facts, brother. All I'm trying to say, though, in comparison, we had two coaches in the Final Four. I know Nate Oates is hot right now with the way he's won. I just saw them 2 months ago, man. Like, they were nowhere close to that team. We had Kevin Keats in the Final Four. That dude was about to be fired. So, like, sometimes lightning in bottles occur, and I hear that. But I'm looking at the totality of the work. And by the way, everybody's like, well, you just can't win with young players. You know, they had an old team 2.5 years ago, stacked with transfers. So, like, he's done it different ways. It's just sometimes it's hard to win the tournament. It doesn't always translate. Coach K only had five of them, man. I mean, he had five.
But we're not
incredible.
Talking always.
Bill Self has two.
We're not talking
Bill
always.
Bill Self just got his second 2 years ago.
We're not talking
just got
always.
His second 2 years ago.
Yeah, but we're not talking national titles, and we're not talking always. We're saying that over the last 9 years, you haven't even been to a Final Four, and over the last 4 years, you haven't even gotten to a Sweet 16. Mm. I'm saying when that comes about, we talk about Calipari like those things are impossible to occur, but they have occurred, and we can't ignore that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Who are you replacing him with?
Well, here's, and you know what my response is? What Shannon said in this regard. If you're not even getting to a Sweet 16 at the University of Kentucky, there's a lot of coaches I can replace you with. There's a lot.
Guess what? He's the second winningest coach all time. And he has the same number of national championships as Tubby Smith at Kentucky. He's the second winningest coach all time. He has the same number of championships as J.B. Hall. So tell me, what am I getting? For $8.5 million, what am I getting? Oh, I get a bunch of five stars and do what? Get bounced in the first round? Get bounced in the second round? Is that what I'm getting? So guess what? If I can get bounced in the first or second round, I can get me a coach and pay him $4 million and do that.
I hear you. Shannon, all I'm saying, I remember a day and time when people were about to go hard on Jay Wright. People were saying, oh, Jay Wright can never win it. And then
he did.
Lightning a bottle, Chris Jenkins, boom, 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 he makes two. Yep. Now he's one of the all-time winningest coaches. I'm just saying there's luck that goes into
but
a lot of
but he wasn't at Kentucky with the top two recruiting class in the nation.
Thank you.
All right,
Jay,
we got to leave it
Jay,
there.
Jay, you might have one more question. Jay, I'm just, Jay, I'm, Jay. Jay, he's winning national championship with Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo. You got Carl Anthony Towns, you got Anthony Davis, you got John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Murray, Shea Gilgis. Come on, Jay.
He won it with AD. He won it with AD and with Kat. They got all the way to the Final Four. They were undefeated, Shannon. They were undefeated and lost in the four.
All right. Point made. First class
recruiter, Shannon.
He don't
want that pressure. That's why he left, Stephen A. He didn't want that pressure.
Well, that's different, Shannon. That's different now.
He want that pressure.
That's a different combo. That's a different combo.
Kentucky had 35 first-round draft picks during his
game. How many?
35. Jay,
Duke was second with 27.
Jay, before we let you roll, who do you have tonight? You going Purdue or UConn? And you two answer later in the show. So
I'm going
just
your
Jay.
Squad, Molly. I'm going
UConn?
Your squad, Molly. I'm going
think
your
it's going to be close?
They get it done. Dan Hurley's the face of college basketball next year. That's what he is.
We know it better happen, because if it doesn't, Molly is just going to be miserable to America.
Yeah, I bet
Shannon,
you won't come to work tomorrow.
Me. Shannon, UConn or the field. Don't forget about that bet. I have
don't
that
worry
tape.
About it. E.D.
How come you need to wear the UConn gear today?
E.D.
How come you need to wear the UConn?
Because I wanted to celebrate South Carolina today. I wanted South Carolina to have their moment. Okay. You know, I showed a lot of shoulder. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Coming up. All right. Jay will be back with us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
All right, so after winning 9 of 10, the Lakers picking up steam at the right time. But without LeBron James last night, who was dealing with flu-like symptoms, and no Anthony Davis for the second half, Davis aggravated a left eye injury, was ruled out of the second of the Lakers' 127-117 loss to the T-Wolves. Now, the Pelicans won Sunday night in Phoenix, but the Suns still hold the tiebreaker between the teams with four games to play. The Rockets lost their fifth in a row following their 11-game win streak and are now eliminated from playoff contention. Tim Legler is in the building.
Hey, good
to see you, as always.
See you.
Good to
see
you,
bro. Monday.
Too, man.
Shay, I want to start with you. So, your Lakers currently ninth in the West. Do you think they're the biggest threat to the Nuggets in the conference?
I don't. As much as I like to say they are.
What?
I almost fell out of my chair. I almost fell out of my chair, Shannon.
It's dependent on one thing. Is Karl-Anthony Towns coming back? If he comes back, I believe they would be the biggest threat because they have a guy in Anthony Edwards that can close the show. They have another big that can go give you 20 on a nightly basis. And I think, now look, Gobert is not going to stop, but I think with that size, they could bother Jokic. Now, the thing is, look, we've seen them, Stephen A. We've seen them go to Milwaukee and beat the Bucks. We've seen them go to Boston and beat Boston without LeBron. And I think Anthony Davis as well. So we know what they're capable of, but I saw them lose to Brooklyn too once with both of those guys in the lineup. So I just don't know what exactly Laker team that I'm going to get. Now, if you say we're coming out. Legs, you and Stephen A., y'all know we're coming out to play in, right? If we're in the play in, it don't matter. Play-in, playoffs, it don't matter. Lakers going to be in the regular season, going to be in the regular tournament. You know that, Stephen A. So I don't know what you're talking about. Man, I don't know. You do know. Because Gold James is going to be where it's at. Now, if you tell me, you say now, if we get them guys in the finals, the Western Conference finals again, I'm going to slide all my chips to the table. I'm going with Gold James. That's if we get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to see him before then, Stephen A. I don't want to see him before then. So can we wait? Can we get a couple of games, a couple of series up under our belt, get our rhythm? And Anthony Davis going to have to start wearing goggles like Kareem.
I mean,
because this is the third time he done got hit in that eye, Stephen A.
Well, listen. Well, Demon, I don't know if you know him. The man looked like Beetlejuice. I mean, those big eyes.
There you go.
Come on, would now. You stop?
No, I mean, it's affectionate. It's affectionate.
It truly is.
I speak to his dad all the time when we at the games and stuff like that. I love Anthony Davis and his family. And let me take a moment to give Anthony Davis major, major props. I already lost the bet to Shay Shay. I owe him dinner. We got to go. I'm coming out there next week for the playoffs and stuff like that, man. Dinner's on me. He bet me that Anthony Davis was going to play more than 65 games. I can't believe it. The brothers.
I would have probably sided with you on that bet. I probably would have.
I'm almost fainting. I mean, a brother playing 7-4 games, averaging 24-12. That don't mean nothing to me. That's what Anthony Davis does. My issue with him, like Kyrie Irving, who, by the way, has been spectacular. Lord have mercy, Kyrie Irving. Lord, just give him love and props. I mean, he is putting on a show this year. But Anthony Davis, 74 games, averaging 35.5 minutes. Tim Legler, I never saw that coming. I ain't going to lie to you. I didn't see that coming. And because of that, Shannon, I have to look at it from this perspective. Carl Anthony Towns comes back. I understand how formidable Minnesota would be because of defense. I'm not sold on their perimeter shooting. And I think that's a key pivotal factor come playoff time. You know, I know they got the size. I know they got the defensive prowess. I know they got an emerging superstar in Anthony Edwards, who's still relatively young, though. And when you're talking about LeBron James, Anthony Davis, I think you can make a legitimate argument at this point, the way that the Lakers have been rolling, that they're the number one threat to the Denver Nuggets. They're the biggest threat. I'm not trying to say that they couldn't get knocked off or whatever, but I would bet my money on the Lakers ahead of anybody but Denver at this particular point because of their defense, because the game slows, because there's no back-to-backs and you get rest in between games. I think all of those things factor into the equation. The biggest trepidation that I have, I checked in the other day and I'm hearing that Vanderbilt ain't going to be back. It's not looking good. They're not ruling it out totally, Legs, Shay.
Yeah.
They're not ruling it out totally, but there's some serious doubt as to whether they're going to give it like another week and a half or so, but there's some serious doubt as to whether or not Vanderbilt is going to be back. I think that is a blow to the Los Angeles Lakers. But based off of everything I've been seeing, 122.1 points per game, leading the NBA since March 18th, tied for the second best record in basketball with Boston behind Dallas, who's 9-1. They're 9-2. I'm looking at 50% shooting from the field, second best in the NBA to the Pacers, 48.2 rebounds per game, which leads the NBA, leading the NBA in points, leading the NBA in rebounds. Defensive rating is at number 6. They're 9-2 since March 18th, reminiscent to what they did last year when they made that run at the end of the season going into the playoffs, and now they're about 11 games or so over 500. I got to respect what I'm seeing from the Los Angeles Lakers and say, yo, they got a shot to go back to the conference finals.
Well, look, I love coming on with y'all. I'll be here a lot the rest of the season, and I'm glad we're having this conversation today because for a second, Stephen A., I thought you were going to try to beat me to the punch of something I've been saying since the trading deadline. The answer to the question, if we get back to the question, is the Dallas Mavericks. I hear everything you guys are saying about the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I agree with it. And Shannon, to your point, you know, we don't have to necessarily pick series yet, right? These are all hypothetical. Right. Don't put me in a corner until I have to make the pick, right? I'm with you on that. But look, if what you're saying is, and I agree with you, they're getting out of the play-in. If this is a team that wins a first-round series and they have an opportunity, maybe they play Oklahoma City, maybe they get Minnesota early, whoever that may be, they win that series, now maybe all bets are off, right? Because now they generated momentum. They've played their best basketball at the exact right time of the year. So they're timing it out perfectly as they head into the postseason. But I am not going to turn my back on what Dallas is doing right now. 16-2 in their last 18 games. They answered a need at the trading deadline. They added guys that can defend.
Yep.
They added athleticism at the rim. They've got more than enough shooting. And to Stephen A's point, this is the meshing that we needed to see out of Kyrie and Luka. Because you think about, where's Kyrie right now? He's in the perfect lane. The lane he was in Cleveland next to LeBron James. Mm-hmm. When he was most respected and revered as a player and won a championship, in that lane next to that guy. And guess what? He's there again. Because Luka Doncic is that guy. And right now, Luka has checked off a couple boxes I needed to see that I was always worried about. First of all, I never trusted Luka Doncic at the foul line in important situations.
That's right.
That's gone. It's the highest free throw percentage of his career.
78.6.
Exactly. And even lately, what he's done over the last month is even higher than that. He's raised the bar, because that's important. He's going to go 10 times a game in the playoffs, at least. His three-point percentage as well, highest of his career. Mm-hmm. Shot selection a little bit better. Consistency a little bit better. But it's mostly about what they've surrounded him with. Mm-hmm. And I trust him. I just trust him. He's going to rise to the occasion when the lights get turned up. And that's why I think Dallas is the biggest threat to the Nuggets.
Let me say this to you. I'm not necessarily agreeing with you, but I can't argue with you. Right now, Luka's averaging 33.9 points, Shannon, 9.8 assists, 9.2 rebounds. This is damn near triple-double, okay? That's spectacular. Kyrie Irving, let me put this on national television. Kyrie Irving is my comeback player of the year. He's my comeback player of the year, Shannon. I'm talking about last year. Being out for a multitude of reasons we no longer care to get into, don't want to get into. That is the past. We are moving forward. This brother right here is averaging 25.8 points, 49.6% shooting from the field, 41% shooting from three-point range. What's his free throw shooting? I think it's at 90.7%. Damn near a 50-40-90 guy. I mean, this dude has been on another level. He's played 56 games because he's been injured. No distractions, no problems. When this brother is on the court, he is something to behold. And yesterday, that show he put on, he dropped 48 last night. I'm looking at Dallas and I'm like, damn. And you're right. The way they got some size and some defense, we haven't seen that from Dallas in the past. Because clearly we have nothing to worry about with them offensively. Clearly offensively, you're going to have a problem with them. But if they can get stops, which they've been showing us they could, Dallas could be the sleeper in the West.
All right, we're up against it. Tim, giving you the final word here.
Here's one thing we all need to remember, and it goes right to the two teams we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Two best records in the league in clutch situations, meaning you get into a one-possession game, 5 minutes to go, two best records in the league are the Lakers and the Mavericks.
Yep.
Two best records, and there's a reason. It's because of the two dudes that control the game in that situation, and I just think this is the best team that Luka Doncic has had, and we've seen what he's capable of doing damn near by himself in the playoffs. Now he's got an actual team around him and Kyrie playing at this level. I think the Dallas Mavericks are legitimately a threat. If they can avoid Denver early, they can go to the conference finals if they avoid Denver.
Remember, it was just 2 years ago they went to the conference finals with Jalen Brunson. And Kyrie is playing better than Brunson was at the time that they went to the conference finals.
Well, I'm worried. You know what I'm worried about? Because we talked about the Clippers so much. First round, if the players were to begin the day, Dallas would play the Clippers. And even though I saw that show Paul George put on last night, they were still down 26, which required that show. I don't know if we picked the Clippers to beat Dallas in that series.
No.